Just to give you a little back of my preaching, could I give you two little things passing, okay? Number one, part of this my sermon, I'm going to talk about one of my daughters. Now, most of you know him. His name is Carla, and probably therefore when we cover, you know what we're talking about, part of my family. Secondly, in many times in my preaching, I use the word not Lord God, which we have seen several times in verse 21 or chapter. The word Lord there is not meaning the king or the master. That one there is got in the Hebrew, that is Hebrew's God's name, which out of Hebrew is read Yahweh. One time you may translated that as being Jehovah. The Hebrews believed that if you used God's name in any way, whether it was in meaning or in fun, it was sin. And they changed it, and so we always come that word often to be, for many translations, say, God, Lord God. I will be using very often the word Yahweh, which is God's name. Okay, that should give you the background a little bit, I hope. Here we go. Let me know that a couple of years ago, my wife Jocelyn, she and I flew back to the East Coast with my daughter Carla and with her three young children. Our help was especially needful because our son-in-law, Graham, had driven a moving truck from California to New Jersey about a month earlier, and then Carla had to move out there and take the three young children with her. Needless to say, her trip would have been a real problem if she had not received the help from us that she needed to take care of the three young children. As we have seen, as we've started this series in the Psalms of Ascent, the Israelites would take the ascent up to Jerusalem for the feasts that Yahweh God had ordained. Oh, beloved, on those Israelites made their ascent up to Jerusalem, their traveling was a type or a picture of every believer making the ascent from the world up to the local church. Finally, as those Israels made their ascent up to Jerusalem, they were a true type or a picture of every believer making the ascent from the world up to the heavenly Jerusalem. For these travelers, the ascent up to Jerusalem would most probably have been a disaster for them without the help needed for the ascent. And for us, the ascent to those types, that is our ascent up to the local church and up to heaven itself, would also most certainly be a disaster without the help needed for the ascent. There are now 4 points. Here's the first one. Number one, the source of the help. Now we're looking into verses 1 and 2. The text clearly implies that the travelers needed help. When we started our study of the Psalms of Ascent, we saw that the people of Israel were required to go up to Jerusalem for several feasts every year. Turn with me, if you can, to Exodus 23 and read about these requirements in verses 14 and 17. Quote, 3 times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none should appear before me empty-handed. Also, you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the fields also. the feast in the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Now, turn with me further, if you can hear it, at least to Deuteronomy 6, and read about these exactly the same requirements again in verse 16. Quote, three times in a year to your males, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses at the feast of unleavened bread, and at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. That meant, beloved, that they had to leave their homes, they had to leave their herds, and they had to leave their flocks and make what might be a perilous journey up to Jerusalem. Oh, beloved, that clearly meant that the travelers of the people of Israel would have to spend 8 days in Jerusalem and then retrace their steps to their homes. There were two questions that had been in their minds. The first question was, what will happen in my home while I am gone? And the second question was, what will happen to me on this difficult journey? In that journey, there was the possibility of running afoul the thieves, or there was the possibility of having an accident that would cause serious injury. During the journey, every traveler had to consider that those events were certainly possibilities. The journey from Jerusalem was not an easy journey. And if the travelers were to make it safely, they needed to be comforted that there was help being granted to them. Oh, beloved, the travelers considered the physical question then, and the travelers in today must consider the spiritual problems of the journey. But if the travelers were to make it safely, they needed to be confident that there was help being granted to them. Now, the text tells us that the travelers understood that there was a marvelous source that identified the help that was needed. In the very opening of this psalm, the source of this help was identified. Oh, beloved, this is what the psalmist said in most versions in verse 1, quote, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? Notice, in these versions, that verse closes with a question mark. As the traveler left home and as he continued throughout the ascent up to Jerusalem, he was to be reminded that although he might be physically traveling alone, he was never alone, and he was the recipient of great help. What does it mean for the travelers to lift up their eyes to the mountains? It undoubtedly does not refer to the mountains of Lebanon, nor does it refer to any other mountains surrounding Israel, but rather it was undoubtedly refer to the mountains upon which Jerusalem, and particularly the temple, had been built. Oh, beloved, in this traveler's song, the person making his way up to Jerusalem was reminded that his help came from the very one whom he was ascending up to Jerusalem to worship. Possibly, there's a better reading in the King James Version that is, and let me read this in the form of the King James Version. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Notice that in the King James Version, that verse closes with a period. Then, if that's the case, it becomes a confession that the traveler's health came from the one who dwelt in Jerusalem, and particularly from the one who dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. Remember that the scriptures tells us that the temple was built on Mount Zion. This is what the psalmist said about Jerusalem in Psalm 48, verses 1 through 3, quote, "Great is the Lord," notice capital L, capital R, capital RD, "and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in the elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge." Now, the text defined the source of the help which the traveler needed. That source of help is further defined then in verse 2, quote, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The source of the traveler's help is defined in two ways. First, the psalmist tells us that the travelers needed help, and that help came from Yahweh, Israel's God, the God of covenant faithfulness. Do you understand that there are two words that are translated Lord? The Hebrew word Adonai is translated as the word Lord, but you must have that word written with a capital L and small letters O-R-D. And the word Lord thus only means the master or the king. Oh, beloved, now the Hebrew word Yahweh is always translated by the word Lord. But you must have written that word with all capital letters, and is written Lord. And that is the name of the God of the Bible. That is the name of the God of the covenant. And that is the name of the one truly living God. Further, that is the word translated Lord, capital Lord, in all capitals in verse 2, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 8, which we've been read a moment ago. The old American Standard translated that word Jehovah, and you must remember that that word Jehovah is found in several of our hymns. For example, many of the old Reformed Christians love that old rel, which we new hymn that we now have. That was now in verse 29, verse 8, and it says, "Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty." And another love from that old red hymn of our old one is from hymn 151 that goes this way, "Jehovah's perfect law." Oh, beloved, now the word law in capital letters is the reason I quit often use that word Yahweh instead of the word Lord. And now you can understand what the word Lord in capital letters means in the Bible. Now, once again, in verse 2, the psalmist tells us that the travelers needed help, and that help came from Yahweh, Israel's God, the God of covenant faithfulness. Nothing could bring the traveler greater comfort than to be reminded that his help came from the God who made the covenant with Israel and who had always proven faithful to that covenant and to the promises that are included in the covenant. Nothing could bring the traveler greater comfort than to be reminded that his help came from the God who had chosen Jerusalem as the place to put his name and to build in the Holy of Holies, even between the wings of the cherubim and whose glory filled the Holy of Holies. Secondly, This help came from Yahweh, who was the creator of heaven and earth. The traveler was reminded that Yahweh spoke, and by the power of his word, Jehovah God has created the universe, and he has created the earth, and he has created everything in it. Oh, beloved, remember how the scriptures tells us that God had created the heavens and the earth, as it says in Genesis 1. And that means that God has created everything that is. And that tells us that our Creator God is the God who has all power and all authority. If this God had the power to create, and by implication, if he had the power to sustain all that has been created, then surely he also had the power to provide the help that the traveler needed. Oh, beloved, that same God is our God. And we are to be reminded as we make our journey up to that heavenly Jerusalem, whatever dangers we may encounter physically and or spiritually along the way, our help still comes from Yahweh, the God of covenant faithfulness. And he is also the God who made heaven and earth. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second point. The assurance of the help. Now we're looking into verses 3 and 4. The text clearly defines the help that the travelers indicated that they needed. Once again, the text clearly stated in verse 3, quote, "He will not allow your foot to slip." Dr. Alexander, the commentator, spoke about that text in verse 3, quote, "The figure is peculiarly appropriate in the month of pilgrims making their way along the hills and rocks of Palestine." Oh, beloved, the implication is that Yahweh will keep the pilgrims safe throughout their journey. That is, until they arrive safely in Jerusalem, and then when they return safely home. Whatever hardship that the travelers might encounter, whatever danger they may face, they were to be assured that Yahweh was the source of their help. He would never leave them. Oh, beloved, that assurance is ours. Also, as we make our way up to that celestial city today, that is, we have the assurance as we make our way up to that spiritual Jerusalem, that is, to the church, and then later on, even to heaven. The text tells us that the travelers knew and further defined the source of the help that they needed. Observe what the text says in verses 3 and 4, quote, "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." One of the problems with setting a human watch is that even the best watchman sometimes gets sleepy in the middle of the night. Part of the time when I was in college, I got a job as being a watchman. There were three shifts of 3 hours each. The first shift would be from 9 p.m. to midnight. Then during the second shift, you would work from midnight to 3 a.m. And finally, the third shift would work from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was easy to be watched from 9 to midnight, but during the other shift, each watchman would get pretty sleepy sometimes, and sometimes the watchman would even go to sleep. That is what I did, at least a few times in those shifts. In the myths about the gods of Rome and about the gods of Greece and others before, it was not unusual to hear of the gods going to sleep or even getting drunk and falling into a stupor. Where would be the help needed indeed for those ancient people? Here is an example of that in 1 Kings 18, verse 27, quote, "It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, 'Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied, or gone asleep, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened.'" How concerned the ancient peoples must have been that there was even the possibility that when they really needed their God to assist them, he might be occupied with something else more important, or even that he might be asleep. The point that the traveler is being reminded of here is that Yahweh never becomes tired so that he has to take a nap, or even during the longest night, Yahweh never, never goes to sleep. This is what John Calvin shows us the meaning of this text in verse 4, quote, "The sense then is that as God never slumbers, even in the smallest degree, we need not be afraid of any harm falling us while he is asleep. The design of the prophet is now obvious, to persuade true believers that God has a special care of each of them. In particular, he brings forward the promise which God made to the whole people and declares God to be the guardian of his church, that from the general principle, as from a fountain, each might convey streams to himself." Oh, beloved, how comforting it is for us to know that Yahweh is watching over us every minute of the day, and he is watching over us every minute of the night. Oh, again, beloved, how comforting it is for us to know that our God never grows weary, and that he never slumbers or sleeps. Yahweh, our God, is always with us, and he is only willing, but he is also able to provide the help needed for every believer during the physical and the spiritual ascent up to the local church, and during that final ascent up to heaven. Well, that's the second point. The third point, the image of the help. Now we're looking at verses 5 and 6. Oh, beloved, the image of the helper is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that protected Israel from the wilderness wanderings. This is what the psalmist said in verse 5, quote, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." The very obvious imagery here is that Israel had had that shade throughout its wilderness wanderings. This is what the scripture said in Exodus 13, verse 22, quote, "He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. With all of the murmuring and all of the complaining and all of the rebelling that went on in Israel, God's grace and faithfulness was seen in that he never took away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Oh, beloved, God's faithfulness and goodness certainly is seen in that amazing statement. So Yahweh promised to faithfully be the help that his people needed as they went up to Jerusalem year after year to worship Yahweh God. So Yahweh still promises to faithfully be the help that you need physically and spiritually as you travel on to the physical local church. So Yahweh still promises to faithfully be the help that you need as you travel on to that glorious heavenly Jerusalem. The protection of the traveler now, beloved, is complete. Oh, beloved, the text tells us that the traveler is completely protected. Notice that God's word has promised that protection in verse 6, quote, "The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night." The language here reminds us again of the creation account. That is, this is what the scripture says in Genesis 1 verse 16, quote, "God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser night to govern the night. He made the stars also." Oh, beloved, do you see that the sun was created to govern the day, and the moon was created to govern the night? Again, beloved, now both the sun and the moon stand for everything that could be a source of harm to the physical traveler during the time of their reign. That is, the sun governs throughout the day and the moon governs throughout the night. Indeed, the implication was that the protection promise was complete. Nothing could possibly harm the traveler since God has provided help and protection for them from all possible source of harm or danger. That is still the assurance of the people of God that as you make your spiritual journey back up to Jerusalem, that is to the local church, your protection is complete. That is still the assurance of the people of God, that as you make that spiritual journey up to that heavenly Jerusalem, your protection is always complete. Well, that's third point. Here's the fourth. And the fourth point is the promise of the help. Now we're looking at verses 7 and 8. The texts tell us that Yahweh promises to be our helper, keeper. This is a glorious promise that the scriptures tell us in verses 5 and verse 7. This way, quote, back to 5. "The Lord is your keeper." Down to verse 7. "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." Notice the repetition of the concept of being the keeper and the concept of keeping. John Calvin's comments help us understand these verses in the text. Quote, "It is of importance to mark the reason why the prophet repeats so often what he has briefly and in one word expressed with sufficient plainness. Such repetition seems at first sight superfluous, but when we consider how difficult it is to correct our distrust, it will be easily perceived that he does not improperly dwell upon the commendation of the divine providence." Oh, beloved, the omnipotent and the omnipresent God is our keeper as we make the difficult journey up to the heavenly Jerusalem. And so we need not fear, but we can confidently rest in him, and we can confidently rest in his covenant promises to us. This promise is a promise for the fulfilled travelers. This promise is for those who in faith are making the ascent up to that type of Jerusalem. God's promise and His faithfulness are not to be separated from that ascent. For the true believer who knows Jesus as his Savior and sees all of life as serving Him, then he sees all of life and part of the ascent up to that heavenly Jerusalem. The texts tell us that the promise of Yahweh gives the travelers help, and that help is complete again. This text teaches us and reminds us how complete are the promises in verse 8. Quote, "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." The commentator, Mr. Alexander, has again explained this text. Going out and coming in is a proverbial Hebrew phrase for all the occupations and affairs of life. Oh, beloved, the promise of help is complete indeed. That is, the travelers know that Yahweh is our keeper, and we are kept every minute of every day, and we are kept every minute of every night. And finally, we know that Yahweh will keep us and guide us in every occupation and in every affair of life. Oh, beloved, this is what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 31 and 32, quote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Finally, beloved, there is not even one job, there is not even one affair, there is not even one thing in which we may be involved in this life that his promise and his presence and his power are with us to work all things for our good as we make our journey through the world up to that heavenly Jerusalem. Well, that was the fourth point. Short conclusion. As we've seen as we started this series on the Psalms of Ascent, the Israelites would make the ascent up to Jerusalem for the feasts that God had ordained. As those Israelites made their ascent up to Jerusalem, their traveling was a type of every believer making the ascent from the world up to the spiritual Jerusalem, that is, to a local church. Finally, as those Israelites made their ascent up to Jerusalem, there was a type of every believer making the ascent from the world up to that heavenly Jerusalem. For these travelers, the ascent up to Jerusalem would most probably have been a disaster for them without the help needed for the ascent. And for us, the ascent of those types would make certainly be a disaster without the help needed from the ascent, that is, the help from Yahweh, the living God. Let's pray. Father, we truly thank you that you do promise to help us as we travel as true believers, knowing that you are our keeper, and we thus know that you keep us and guide us as you give us the help needed for those ascents. In Jesus' name, amen.